And I want to try to share with you tonight the thoughts that God has placed upon my heart. And I don't have any desire to do anything other than that, to just try to bring before you the thoughts that God has given to me. And so I want to call your attention to some scripture that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read there, beginning with the first verse of that chapter, and read about five verses to begin this evening. The Apostle Paul, writing this to the church at Corinth, he said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And I want to conclude my reading there for now with those first five verses of 2 Corinthians chapter, or 1 Corinthians rather, chapter 2. And I want you to think about the statement that Paul made when he told them that he was determined not to know anything among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, I want to say in the beginning of this meeting that I am here tonight and, Lord willing, will be here throughout this week, however long the church continues these services. I'm determined to preach Jesus. The Lord's church has been lifting up his name for many, many years now. And we are still preaching the same message that has always been preached. Amen. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. This was the nucleus of Paul's preaching. And I want to say this, that if you are here to hear about salvation in any other than Jesus, you're not going to hear it from me, and you're not going to hear it from Brother Tim. I know that, and you're not going to hear it from anybody here at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. This is what we believe. Amen. I'm sold out to this, that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation for everybody. Amen. And I want to try to speak about that tonight. And this afternoon in my study, I just began to think about all the scripture that we have. There's just verse after verse after verse where when God moved upon the hearts of holy men to pen down the scriptures, when he inspired them to write these sacred truths that we have, he drove home the point in the Bible that Jesus is the way of salvation. And we just have verse after verse, passage after passage that teaches us that. It's very convincing if you study the Word of God in both the Old and New Testament. It's very convincing that God has one way for people to be saved. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul was so determined not to preach any other message, not to know anything else among them except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I want to share some of those verses, if God will help me. But I want to say this, that God was pleased with his Son. God was pleased with his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, there has never been, other than God the Father and God the Son, there has never been another Father and Son in the history of mankind that pleased each other in everything. I know that God blessed me with two sons. And you know, my sons have not pleased me in everything that they have done. And I'm sure that as a father that I have not pleased them in everything that I'm done. You see, we have imperfections and we find faults and failures in one another. But I'm going to say that when God sent his Son to this world to do the work that he sent him here to do, that Jesus Christ the Lord pleased the Father in everything that he did. And we can find evidence of that if we read about his baptism. We read how that when Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist, that there was a voice, the Heavenly Father spoke out from heaven and in an audible voice and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We can read about how that when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain and was transfigured before them, there was a voice, as the Apostle Peter said, there was a voice that came from the excellent glory and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And so what that means is that, you know, when we are told in the Scriptures that God said he was well pleased with his Son, that means he was completely satisfied. He was completely pleased with him. He was satisfied with everything that Jesus did that God had sent him here to do. He satisfied all of it, and he didn't leave anything undone. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4, in verses 4 and 5, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God sent forth his Son. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son. The Bible tells us in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John, this is the way that that opens up. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And in the 14th verse of that same chapter, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, Jesus was with God. He was with the Heavenly Father before the world even was. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent him forth, and he sent him forth to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be adopted, that we might become children of God. Isn't that good? In the 10th chapter of the Gospel, according to John, in, I believe, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's singular. I am the way. I'm what? The only way, the truth, and the life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Do you believe that God was trying to tell us in his inspired word that salvation is through Jesus and nobody else? Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Old Testament talked about Jesus. The New Testament talks about Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you're lost and separated from God, you've got a big problem. You've got a real dilemma, because you are bound for eternal damnation in the condition that you're in, and you need salvation. And whether you realize it or not, those of us who have been saved, we realize it. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You're in a bad condition in your lost and ruined state, and the greatest need that you have is salvation. The greatest need that you have is the gift of eternal life. And listen, if you're ever going to get it, you're going to have to come to Jesus. You're going to have to come to him on the terms of the gospel. You're going to have to meet his conditions. You're going to have to obey God's commandments that has gone out to everybody to repent of their sins. And you're going to have to place all of your trust in Jesus if you're going to be saved. Because listen, if you want to know how pleased God the Father was with his Son, I believe that the question, or the answer to that question perhaps, is answered there in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. God was so pleased with his Son that he said, there'll not be one person that'll ever be saved by anybody else but him. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And I'll tell you what, those who have been truly saved, and you don't have to just take it from me, there are witnesses here tonight. I'm telling you, those who have been truly born again, those who know what the gift of eternal life really is, will tell you the same thing that I'm telling you. They'll testify to you tonight that in order to find peace with God, that in order to be saved, to be forgiven of their sins, they had to come through him, through Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the only way that we can get to him. Listen, lost friend, that's what you need to do. If you're here tonight and you have been made to realize your lost condition, there's nothing to wait for. Amen. You need to be seeking the Lord right now. You need to follow the instructions that were found given in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. You need to seek the Lord while he may be found. You need to call upon him while he is near. You need to forsake your own ways. You need to turn from your own thoughts. You need to turn from your own sin. You need to repent of them before a holy God. And you need to cry out to Jesus because he is able not only to save you, but he's able to save you completely. He's able to save you to the uttermost. He's able to give you all the salvation that a person can possibly have. That's what you need. Sad, isn't it? It's sad that there are so many people in the world that are just chasing after everything other than the thing that they really need. So many people in the world today are so caught up in temporal pleasure
Let me tell you something. You want to have a good life? You want to know what true happiness and true joy really is? Come to know Jesus in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And I'm telling you, it'll change your heart and it'll change your life in a way that nothing else will. And if you want to know what it really is to be happy in this world, you find the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And friend, you're going to have it. And you're not going to find it anywhere else. All these temporal things that you think are satisfying to you, listen, they won't even satisfy the flesh for very long. I'm telling you that there's a God in heaven that loved you and does love you. There's a God in heaven that looked down upon this, looks down upon the sinners of this world, and He has such love and compassion that He wants to save. Let me tell you something. Make no mistake about it. God, I don't know where your heart is. I hope that you're desiring to be saved. But I want to tell you this. I know for a fact that God desires to save you. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 tells us that God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, when the Apostle Peter was writing about the second coming of Christ, he said the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's going to come just like He promised. The Lord's not slack concerning the promise of His coming, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God gave the very best. He gave His only begotten Son. He sent Him into this world to suffer and to die the cruel death of the cross so that you and I could have a way back to God, so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could walk through this life knowing that it's well with our soul. Let me tell you something. It's great to be saved. It's great to be a child of God. God has been good to me. Has God been good to you? God has been good to me. He has blessed me in this world far beyond what I could have ever deserved. God has blessed me in temporal ways. He's blessed me in spiritual ways. But in the summer of 1973, as an 18-year-old boy, God gave me the greatest blessing of all. That's when He saved me from my sins, forgave me, gave me peace in my heart, gave me a home in heaven when this life is over. And you know how He did that? He did that through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I was saved. That's how Brother Doug Collins will tell you that he was saved. Brother Binion will tell you that he was saved. Listen, we've all got to come God's way. Amen. Amen. There's people in the world that will try to convince you of other things. But if you're going to get it, if you're going to have it, you're going to come to God through Jesus Christ the Lord, or you're going to die lost and split hell wide open. Because Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me. God was pleased with what He did. I want you to think about this. I want you to think with me for a moment of what Jesus Christ the Lord, Jesus Christ the only begotten Son of God, was willing to do for you and I. I already told you about what the Apostle John wrote in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. That's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And He became flesh and dwelt among us. And listen, he was with God the Father in all the glory of heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Apostle Paul said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Listen, Jesus laid all of that down. All the glory that he had with the Father, he laid it down, and he did what the Apostle Paul wrote about there in the second chapter of Philippians, when Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it robbery not to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Who did he do that for? For you and I. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe. He did it for every sinner. Not for some. He did it for all of us. Christ came into the world. He left behind heaven. He came and he emptied himself, and he came to earth, and he lived as a man, and he suffered like nobody had ever suffered, and nobody since then has ever suffered. He suffered the just for the unjust. He suffered for us. He didn't suffer because of his own sin, because he didn't have any sin. He suffered because of our sins. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah spoke some 700 to 800 years before it happened that he would be a man of sorrows and that he would be acquainted with grief. And he was like nobody else has ever been. And I'm telling you, friend, tonight, lost friend, listen to this. I'm telling you tonight that when Jesus was facing the cross, he was doing it as a man. When he got down and he prayed in such agony that his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground, he was doing that. And he went through all of that so that you and I could have a way back to God. Amen. So that we wouldn't have to die lost and separated from God. You know, I'm persuaded that all of us that have been saved, we don't think about it. We don't think about the great gift we've received as much as we should. Man, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. It's the greatest knowledge that anybody can ever attain. To know Jesus, to know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, to know him as your Savior. Let me tell you, through him, you can have eternal life. Through him, you can have a home in heaven. Through Jesus, you can walk through this life and know the greatest peace that can possibly be known. But listen, without him, all that awaits you is the eternal flames of hell. That's it. That's exactly where you'll go without him. And God's not going to make any exceptions. He is no respecter of persons. And there will never be one person that God will look at and say, "Well, I'm going to let you slide. I know you didn't come to me through Jesus." No, it's not going to happen. You're going to come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not going to find salvation, because there's not any in anybody else. I'd like for us to sing. Listen, I'm just going to be blunt with you here. If you're here tonight and you know you're lost, it is completely unwise not to do anything about it. It is unwise not to seek the Lord. You don't have any idea when your last opportunity is going to come. It might be tonight. This might be the very last opportunity that you have to get right with God. And it's foolish. It's foolish to push Him away. You need to come and seek the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved.
Extend the invitation, and I want to encourage you to consider the message tonight. There's no other way but through Jesus. He alone can save you. But you've got to go to Him. Jesus said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." That's what He said. You got to go to Christ. I wish I had the answers for you. I wish I knew what to tell you. But there's no other message that can be delivered other than the message of the cross. No other person to be presented unto you but Jesus Christ. And that's been done here tonight. He is the way. He is the answer for you. But you've got to come to Him. You've got to come to Him. Jesus said, "He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Go to Christ. As we sing another song, this altar is open. I want to encourage you. There may be some of you here and you may have never made a move before. God's been dealing with you. Some of you don't hide it very well. You just don't hide it very well. Your parents probably know. You know. I know. Others probably know. You know you need to be saved. You've never taken that first step. Listen, if your heart condemns you, you're just as condemned as you'll ever be. Amen? If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. And you need to make a move to Christ. I want to encourage you. If you have never been saved, and some of you know that you're separated from God and you need Jesus, and there's this resistance. It's the flesh. It's our own depravity. I mean, can you imagine that? That we would resist coming to Christ. It's the devil. It's his demons. There's a lot of evil and spiritual forces. The world itself allures us to keep us from coming to Christ. All of these energies that are around you to keep you from coming to Him. Yet Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." The invitation has been given. The statements of Christ have been presented. But you must make a move toward Him. And I want to encourage you as we sing another song. I want to have prayer with you. You don't have to stay at the altar a long time. The moment you meet the conditions of the gospel, you will be saved. And there's a lot of testimonies around here where people got it. I mean, they got it quick. Right? They humbled their hearts and they got saved. I remember Brother Vanderpool. He told that his conversion experience over and over again before that sun went down over that barn. He was lost one day. One day. During the daylight, before that sun went down over that barn. I can't remember the guy's name. He couldn't go any longer. And he went to Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to come and, if God is working in your heart, it's your time. Amen? Amen? It's your day. Your day of salvation. If you'll come to Christ, you'll find it. I want to have prayer with you. Tonight, you don't have to stay, but I want the church burdened for you. And I think, and thinking about you and praying for you all week, if it takes all week or whatever it takes, for you to know in your own heart that you're saved and you're a child of God. And one of the greatest ways to make them aware and concerned is for you to be concerned for yourself. When you're concerned for yourself, oh, that burdens the church, amen? That'll burden us down for you. We'll pray more earnestly for you. will be concerned for you that week. I believe this is the week. This is the revival for you to get saved. But you've got to go to the cross. And so I want to encourage you, if you're here and you have never been saved, and God has obviously made it clear and aware to your heart and your mind that you need Jesus, I want you to come. I want us to at least have one prayer with you as we sing this song. Like I said, you don't have to stay. You can go back to your seat after this prayer. But you will at least acknowledge, I'm in need of the Lord. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you.